The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to it. It's Greg Hughes here with you for the next 2 hours. And we have community guard information coming up for you shortly and so much more besides. And some of your comments too to get through. This listener says, I fully support Carmel and Jack. I'm 21 years a carer. It is a big physical space and being done from the area. There can be family or community problems, and the nurse was always there to speak to. Rural Ireland is being forgotten about again. I spoke to the nurse, and she said that her last day was Friday last. Buncrana and Muff don't have the capacity to deal with this. The HSC won't even tell us what is going on. Well, we are pressing the HSC for a response this morning. My mother is 96 years old and lives in the Fawn area. She's very concerned about losing the service at the Fawn Health Service. And as Carmel said, we need a doctor there even one day a week. It's just not good enough losing essential services in this area. Another, if they want a nurse to stay in Fawn, why can't we get a doctor back to Fawn one day a week as we used to have? That seems to be part of the campaign. There is an embargo. When nurses retire, they're not replaced. It is only going to get worse. It's health staff. Us health staff can't speak out as when allowed to. Nurses aren't able to come back who are abroad. There are problems there. Greg, can you find out what happened to the lady who was giving a report on RTE News last night and fell down when she was doing it? Well, she wasn't given a report. She's from the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. And to be honest with you, I was watching it. And as someone who I can't talk to what actually made her collapse, she fainted. I mean, that was pretty obvious. But you could see that she was struggling a little bit as the question was being asked. I wouldn't be surprised if she was a little bit anxious, because I did, as I was watching it, recognise some of the symptoms, so to speak. She's fine. She got medical attention. The cameraman ran to her aid and she's okay. She fainted there. I don't understand why Glenveagh is closed for a few days as there are plenty of staff and tourists around. Well, the staff are supposed to have to be specific to that role, do they? But anyway, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it seems. I donated blood regularly until I developed diabetes in my 40s. Okay, I hope that's going okay for you. Unfortunately, you can't donate any longer. Why don't they hire more staff at Glenveagh, or are Minister Noonan's proclamations about supporting Glenveagh just talk? If the castle is not open in summer, then will it be open? Then when will it be open? This is deliberate to run down tourism in Donegal. Who exactly decided to close the castle, name and shame? Well, they're not shy about it. They say they had to close it because of staff shortages. Congratulations to Kerry Jodie Well, gone to Buncrana Hearts. That's from Tony McNamee. I think I've read that correctly. Pius Hegarty's in Burfoot, a popular guy this morning. He's celebrating his 70th birthday. So happy birthday to you, Pius, from us here. Others texting in, though, also to wish you a happy birthday. All your grandchildren, they've been in contact. Also, Morgan, Jaden, Lorraine and Charlene have all been in contact to wish you a happy birthday. 70. Hopefully you're treated well today. Okay, it is Community Guard information for this Tuesday, the 2nd of July. And we welcome into studio with us Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning as always, Grainne. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay. We've got a lot to get through. As we always do, we'll start with the appeals. And Gardaí seeking the public's assistance as they investigate an assault in Buncrana.
Yeah, so Gardaí are investigating an alleged assault. This occurred in the early hours of Sunday the 2nd of June in around 3:30 a.m. at McGinn Avenue in the town of Buncrana. CCTV has been viewed. Gardaí have spoken to a number of witnesses already, but they're eager to speak with a number of other witnesses who are believed to have been in the area at the time. They're appealing to anybody who may have information in relation to this incident to contact them. Any road users who were travelling in the area of McGinn Avenue in the early hours of Sunday the 2nd who may have dash cam footage, as always, they're asked to make this available to the Gardaí. Anybody with any relevant information may contact Buncrana Garda Station on 9320540.
And you were very clear, obviously, but that's a month today, effectively, a calendar month today. So
it's
the 2nd of June we're talking about.
The 2nd of June, yeah, Sunday, the early hours, in around 3:30 a.m. at McGinn Avenue.
Okay, let's stay in Buncrana and investigations ongoing into an attempted burglary.
Yeah, so this Garda are investigating what is believed to have been an attempted burglary in a house in the area of Doon Wood in Buncrana, between midnight and 9 a.m. on Monday the 24th of June. So the door handles on a set of double doors downstairs were damaged. The handle was actually lying on the interior on the floor inside the house, and damage was caused to the outside of the door also. Nothing was taken, entry wasn't gained to the house, but we're appealing to anybody who may have seen any suspicious activity in the area of Doonwood on Monday the 24th of June overnight between midnight and 9 a.m. to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540.
And another attempted burglary in the Buncrana area.
Yeah, and quite a worrying one, this one. We're appealing for the assistance of the public again. This is another attempted burglary at Clonblask, Buncrana. On Monday, very recent, Monday the 1st of July, at about 3:15 a.m. So the doorbell was rang a couple or a number of times, I think 3 to 4 times in the house. The homeowner obviously didn't answer at that hour of the morning. They didn't answer the door. The intruder then proceeded to the rear of the house. There was an unlocked bathroom window. The homeowner could hear this intruder trying to open the window. It's a very, very frightening incident for this person, you know. So the intruder tried to open this unlocked window. The homeowner then shouted out, said they were going to contact Gardaí, and the intruder left immediately. We're appealing to anybody who may have been in that area between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. That would be invaluable to us if somebody had dash cam footage from that area. And if anybody can assist with any relevant information, that would be welcome. And we ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540, or, as with all of our appeals, the Garda Confidential line, 1800-666-111.
And I suppose we can all learn lessons from this instance, and I suppose redouble our efforts to ensure our homes are secured.
Of course, yeah, and I know a lot of people probably do leave some windows on the latch, maybe at night time, particularly in the summertime. You know, it's a bit stuffy in the house and they do, but sometimes incidents, unfortunately, and thank God nothing was taken in either of these incidents, but they do, they serve as a reminder just to secure your property, just maybe to brush up on your security around your home. Make sure, especially when your house is going to be unoccupied or when you're going to bed, make sure windows and doors are well secured. Don't leave large amounts of cash in your home. Keep an eye out for neighbours. This is an important one. Please do. Anybody especially who's vulnerable or who lives alone. Going back to the olden days when everybody watched, you know, they run out of each other's houses, and this kind of died out. Some people don't really know their neighbours anymore now, and it's sad, really. But if you do know that somebody's living on their own, particularly in your neighbourhood, please do keep an eye out for them. And always, if you ever see any type of activity, vehicles, people in your area who seem out of place, just something's not sitting right with you, please do contact us immediately.
Exactly. You're not wasting Garda time, and you're not a curtain twitcher. The reality is we do have to work with Garda to keep our communities safe. You know, we are the eyes and the ears. We're the ones out there, as well as the Gardaí, of course. Okay, you're not seeing any particular pattern in any show, and it's just a happenstance that we're talking of two burglaries there. They are separated by quite some time.
They are, of course.
But listen, wherever you live in the county or the region, the same advice applies, of course. It's not specific to one particular area. Let's go to Killie Gordon next.
Yeah, so Gardaí again are appealing for the assistance of the public. This theft occurred in a yard at Inclaren. So there's an estate there in Killigordon called Inclaren. So there's a yard in that estate. There was a lorry parked up, and a theft occurred between 2 p.m. on Friday the 28th of June and 9 a.m. on Monday the 1st of July. So over the course of the weekend, really. The lorry was parked up. The lorry was entered. It was unlocked. Two lorry batteries were stolen from within, and a generator groundhopper was also stolen from the rear of the lorry. So we're appealing to anybody who may have observed any suspicious activity in that area between that time frame to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167100. Again, this generator groundhopper possibly would have needed transportation of some sort of trailer or a van. So we're hopeful somebody might have some information that can help.
Yeah, and that's sort of retrospective, isn't it? Because you might just think it's the lorry owner. But now what we're saying is that if you saw activity during these times at that lorry, this is probably when the theft occurred.
Yeah, well, I would say that this yard in particular would be usually, I'm guessing, that the type of yard that it was would be unoccupied most weekends or all weekends. So it would be highly unusual to see activity in around that yard in particular over at the weekend.
All right, okay. We were speaking to the owner of the Donegal Donkey Sanctuary following this instance. Obviously, Gardaí are investigating it. What details do you have?
Yeah, this is a recent attempt at theft, and it has been widely publicised. People are probably already aware of it. A recent attempt at theft from the donations box at the Donegal Donkey Sanctuary. The sanctuary is located at Castledewy Rafoe. On Tuesday the 25th of June, in around 8:30 p.m, a white car pulled up along the roadside, and a man got out, walked up, and it's quite a long lane up to the sanctuary car park. That's where the donations box is located. So this man made the long journey up to the car park. Luckily, the owner spotted him, came out, challenged him, and he left, headed back down the lane again on foot. The white car then left the area immediately. Thankfully, again, in this instance, nothing was stolen. The man in question had a heavy build. He wore a navy tracksuit bottoms, a black hooded coat. He had the hood up and wore a red beanie hat under the hood. His face was covered. He wore white socks, black runners with some red along the heels and the sides of them. We're appealing mainly to any road users who may have travelled in any of the back roads, any of the roads round the Donkey Sanctuary and on the N14, the Letterkenny to Lifford Road at the turn off there for the sanctuary. Anybody in that area who had a dash cam to make that footage available to Gardaí. If anybody's seen this man maybe on foot or that car, the white car in the area, we also wish to hear from them. Gardaí can be contacted in Letterkenny on 9167100 in connection with this incident.
I don't want to get all CSI on this, but I mean, you know, maybe they were in a local shop in the area. Exactly. And maybe they have CCTV. Maybe the number plate could be identified from that. It's, you know, people can think outside the direct appeal as well if they think of any information that might be of use to the Gardaí. Right, OK. Critch Island next.
This was only recently reported to Gardaí. Now, it was only actually recently realised that this theft took place, but it was quite a unique one, so I added it into the notes. Just Gardaí and Dunloe are investigating a theft. This occurred at Critch Island. It's over the past number of months, so between the start of April and the end of June. So, as I said, they only recently realised that this theft had occurred, and it was only reported to us this week. So access was gained to a locked container. The lock was broken on the container, and they got in. A large quantity of show jumping equipment was stolen. Items stolen included 12-foot poles, cups, show jumps. And this equipment, I believe, would have required a couple of trailers, at least one trailer, definitely a large trailer, if not two trailers, to transport it. So we're hopeful, really, look, the people that are involved in the show jumping business, if they've come across any type of, you know, any sort of show jumping equipment in recent times over the past few months on a second-hand basis for sale, we're hopeful somebody might know something within that kind of inner circle, you know, that might have some information for us. If anybody, of course, over the last, I appreciate it's quite a wide time span, but if anybody noticed any activity that seemed out of place on Critch Island over the past few months and they haven't spoken to Gardaí, we would appreciate also if they would give Gardaí a call and let them know.
Yeah, well, 12-foot poles, you're either on a flatbed or very awkwardly strapped to a trailer or something. And I don't, I can't imagine there's a massive movement of this type of product on the secondary market. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't come up, right? But if this stuff has been offered recently, I would suggest it's probable that it could be these items.
Well, we're very hopeful somebody has come across it for sale. And look, maybe they have come across items for sale which are totally legitimate, and that's okay
too.
We can check that out also, but we would certainly like to hear from them. And any locals, you know, if they have noticed any activity over the past few months, let us know. Gardaí and Milford are dealing with this one, so they can be contacted on 915-3060.
And I'm not talking as to whether or not this property was marked or not, but this is a perfect example of a good property to get marked.
Of course, yeah.
Isn't it? Because if
definitely,
that turns up in Wicklow,
it'll be,
Do you know what I mean? That's when we talk about, just to let you know, when we talk about property marking events, and as I say, this is not, I don't know whether it was or wasn't, but it's a good reminder that this is the type of stuff that would be quite difficult to identify potentially, but property marking would make it as simple as pie.
Yeah, it highlights the importance really of, you know, going to the property marking events when they are advertising,
so
getting your
thing
property marked.
That was a good thing.
That was quite good.
Thank you very much.
I'm just reiterating now what you said.
I agree with you. I think you're 100% right. I think you made a very good point.
Yeah, we've actually two property marketing events coming up, but they're advertised on our Facebook page.
Okay.
I'm trying now to remember the times, I think. The 16th of July at Harold Yard on the Glenfin Road in Ballybuffet. It's on there between 4:30pm and 8:30pm. And it's on at Homeland Lifford between 10:30am and I think 4pm and around 4pm.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody does want to get their property marked, just when we're talking about it anyway.
And while we're at that too, like, I know I talk about cameras a lot, right? But there are very good cameras. I have them and they're actually available locally as well. If you have broadband in your house, be it a holiday home or whatever, and they have really, really good detection on them, either outside or inside. You know, pop one on if you've a holiday home or you're out, pop one on the kitchen counter. It alerts your phone straight away as soon as it detects any movement at all. And lets off a siren as well. Like, you can get them cheaper online, but I know one store locally, they have the 45 euro. You get
You
get the EasyViz app on your phone, right? You set it up, and you can deactivate or activate it, simple as pie, even if you don't want to go to the bother of screwing it to a roof or whatever. But have one pointing at your double doors at the back, one at your front door. And as I say, you don't even know it's there, but if it so happens that there is movement or whatever, and they're not stupidly movement, it's not like a fly or something will set them off. You get a notification straight to your phone, €45 the hour. You don't have to pay any subscription or anything. You put a memory card in, they'll record. I'm not here to sell them or whatever, but I'm just thinking if there was someone listening and it gave them a bit of security, because we talk about this stuff and, you know, it's just a little thing that might help. But as I say, I have about five of these. I use them for job monitors and different things, but they're, you know, if I'm away from the house, stick it on. As soon as the postman lands, my phone goes off.
Even in relation to what we were speaking about a few minutes ago, in relation to people living alone, you know, and if anybody has maybe family members or elderly parents living alone, it's something that could be considered by the family.
But you can
also
talk
maybe
between
to install
as well.
Yeah.
You can talk from your phone.
Yeah.
Out through these cameras.
Oh, you can, of course,
and back
the
way. But these little cheap ones I'm on about. Like,
yeah. But
I know you get the fancy doorbells, but...
Oh, you don't have to. It doesn't even have to be fancy. Yeah, you can get them quite inexpensively.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Something that could be considered for people that live alone. You know, maybe a family would consider. It would give elderly people especially. It would give them that sense of security, yeah.
Right, sorry. Just whilst we were talking about property marketing, and I've mentioned that a couple of times, but I know people that did it and they feel a bit safer in the homes, and then that makes me feel a bit better about myself. Criminal damage in Buncrananex. This was on the 19th.
Yes. So on Wednesday, the 19th of June, at 3:20 a.m, Gardaí responded to a call from the fire service for assistance. They were at the scene of a car fire at the Courtyard Apartments in Buncrana. The car in question was destroyed as a result of the fire. It hasn't been ruled out that this fire may have been started maliciously. So we're appealing to anybody. If anybody has any relevant information in relation to this incident, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540. If anybody again travelled in that area with a dash cam between 1 a.m. and 3:15 a.m, we ask them to make that footage available to us, please.
Now, Gardaí and Letterkenny investigating an RTC.
Yes, this is a collision that occurred between a pedestrian and a car on the R250 just out at Ballymacool, quite close to where the Aura Leisure Centre is, along that stretch of road there. On Friday the 28th of June, it happened between 6:10 p.m. and 6:15 p.m. So the pedestrian was walking from the town towards Ballymacool Park on the footpath when the collision occurred. The car was described as being a small red hatchback. It was travelling in the opposite direction, so in towards town. The driver of the car didn't remain at the scene. The pedestrian was injured. They did receive medical treatment for non-life-threatening injuries, thankfully. We're appealing to anybody who witnessed. We did speak to witnesses already, but we're appealing to anybody else. It's quite a busy stretch of road, and we think there may be more witnesses to this. So if anybody's seen what happened, we're asking them to contact us in Letterkenny on 9167100. And again, as always, I become repetitive now, but dash cam footage of this.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it is crucial. It's to our investigations. If anybody had a dash cam and they were on that road between 6 p.m. and 6:45 p.m. on that date, again, we're asking them to please make that footage available to us.
And finally, staying with the roads, down in the Ballyshannon district, dangerous driving, dangerous driving being investigated.
Yeah, so we're not now going outside our own division in this one too much, but this vehicle in question was within the Donegal division too. So Gardaí, you're investigating a number of alleged incidents of dangerous driving. These occurred between Tubbercurry and Bundoran, just on the main road, between Friday the 28th of June. So it happened between 6:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. So the vehicle involved in these incidents was a red or a maroon-coloured Toyota Auris, and it had a partial registration number of 08DL. Someone has been arrested in connection with the incidents, but we're appealing to anybody who may have observed the manner of driving at any stage of that journey between Tubbercurry and Bundoran to come forward and speak to us. If anybody travelled along that busy stretch of road with a dash cam, again, we're asking them to make that footage available to us. Gardaí may be contacted in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530 if anybody has any information that can help.
All right, and I believe I actually did see images of that post on social. I don't know if you have them.
I do.
That's fine, that's no problem. Okay, we could have done that off air, but just in case, I could have sent you the links. Okay.
Right,
Garda Reserves, final reminder, is it?
I know. This is definitely becoming repetitive now, isn't it? But listen, the closing date is...
This is becoming the new Garda Youth Awards.
It is becoming the... Yeah. We had a couple of information stands for the Garda Reserves there during the week in the courtyard and down at the...
Big interest?
...shopping centre. We had a lot of interest.
Really? Great.
A lot of people are very interested. So just in case, and there are people who took leaflets from us and said they'd consider it. So for those people or anybody else who hasn't heard, there's a Garda Reserve recruitment campaign on at the minute. The closing date is looming. It's coming up on this Thursday, actually, July 4th, 3 p.m. That's the closing date to apply. Anybody at all can go to our Facebook page, Garda Síochána Donegal. There's information there about the recruitment campaign. or garda.ie if they want to visit that website. If they want to apply, they have to go to publicjobs.ie and has to do it before 3 p.m. on Thursday coming.
Yeah, to do lots of stuff. We saw that too at the international rally, of course. A lot of reserves came up from down the country.
Good, yeah.
Right, a question. A man was asking for a knife to cut carpets in a shop yesterday. Did you hear this question yet?
I heard the question.
Okay, right, that's okay. I don't want to spring it on you. The side of his head was all cut and he was clean dressed. He went to another shop and asked for a knife again. I rang the guards as I was scared something would happen to him or he'd harm someone else. They put me through to Gardaí Cork. Something could have happened between then and being serious. No wonder there's so much crime if we can't even get through to our local Garda stations. I'm not sure if it would have been Cork. Is it not Galway?
But anyway, it's Galway.
But be that as it may. So I'm not sure if this question is about the incident itself or how we sort of report these incidents to Gardaí, but you can take it how you wish.
I would imagine, well, I'm guessing, reading between the lines, it sounds like that caller is probably concerned about the amount of time maybe that it took for the guards to respond to such an urgent call. You know, I would imagine that's what their worry was. So I just want to give a wee quick overview. I'll not leave it long drawn out about the Garda Safe call system. So in February 23, a new computer-aided dispatch system is called Garda Safe. It was introduced to in Garda Síochána. So this new system is designed to enhance and improve our response and to allow more efficient use of our resources, thereby ensuring that the public receive the best possible response. Garda Safe sees all calls requiring the dispatch of a Garda resource handled by a number of regionally located control centres. So that's what happened in this instance. Our regional control centre is Galway. These control centres are staffed by trained call takers and call dispatchers. So do you know what? I'll give you a quick overview of what happened. So people, if they were ringing in a call back before that date, before February 2023, they rang, say, Letterkenny Station, for instance. They give all the details of their call over the phone to the guard, they give their name, their number, the details of the call, and the call was dispatched from there, and that was it. So this new call system, what it means now is when you call your local Garda station, if you require the dispatch of a Garda resource, so a patrol car, an unmarked Garda car, if you require the guards to come out to anything at all, the call will automatically be transferred to this call centre in Galway by whoever you call in Letterkenny station. They transfer it automatically to Galway. The call taker then in Galway handles the call. They have access to the screen. They can see where all of the resources are. Everybody clocks in and out, logs in and out, details what duty they're on that day, car, beats, wherever. So they have the county in front of them. They can see who's where at what time, who's available, who's already on a call. So therefore, they're in a position then. They prioritise the calls. I would imagine, I can't say for definite, I would imagine a call like that would have been prioritised. It would be top priority. It sounds fairly urgent. They prioritise the calls. They dispatch the units depending on where they see where everybody is. You know, so they're in a better position, really, than us to see where the nearest car is. So actually, it does. It actually speeds up the response, if anything. So if the call is priority and it is something of an urgent nature, they're in a position to see who's closest to that location and who's available to get there the fastest, really, is, you know. So I can understand the frustration of that caller. You know, they possibly thought that they were transferred to another county. And then how many hours or how long is it going to take then for the guards to respond? But that wouldn't be the case. So this call system, it doesn't interfere with how the public interact with us. All Garda stations remain open to the public. You know, they can continue to contact us in the normal way. They can phone the station, email or visit their local station.
This is how resources are dispatched and used.
This is
managed.
How, yeah. So every guard, when they come on duty, now logs on and they allocate themselves maybe to different car numbers. You know, they say if they're on this car, another car, if they're on the beat maybe they're at a meeting that day, so they have to log in and say they're at a meeting. So the call takers in Galway can see.
So say, for instance, then there's a Garda checkpoint in Termon.
Yes.
Someone calls in and says there's an assault happening in Creasla.
Yes.
The dispatcher can look at that screen and say, right, we've got guys, boys and girls, in Termon. They're the closest to respond to that. They can be dispatched to that point rather than someone from Letterkenny going up.
Of course, yeah. So if it is, if it's a priority call, if it's an urgent nature,
yeah,
they would, of course, would dispatch that unit because they're so. In effect, then it actually means that you're getting a quicker Garda response.
But they're able to see on the map where the resources are. So this local knowledge thing is not really quite as important because they see the specifics of
exactly.
Donegal on this map.
Yeah, and they can see who's closest to that location at any given time, so they can dispatch them in a quicker manner. Yeah. So I want to make sure that people know that they always, regardless of what call system's in place, if it's an emergency, 999 or 112. These calls then are linked directly to, again, the regional control centre, and they will send the fastest and most suitable Garda unit to that call.
Or whatever emergency services required,
exactly,
for that matter.
Yep.
Okay, interesting, informative. Thank you very much indeed. That's Garda Grainne Doherty. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 2nd of July. It's back for you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Now, we're joined on the programme by Dawn Grieve, a volunteer manager with Foyle Search and Rescue. Good morning, Dawn. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic and delighted to be able to hopefully help because Foyle Search and Rescue are currently looking for operational volunteers. These are people who patrol Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. So tell us more about the role, and then I suppose we'll get on to a little later who this might suit. So what does this role entail?
Yes, so Greg, this is probably the main role that we have within the charity, our operational volunteers. As you said there, they patrol the banks of the River Foyle 3 days a week from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. every morning. So they're there to help prevent life in and around the Foyle. So if they come across anybody in distress, they are the individuals who will speak with those people and bring them to a place of safety, whether that be through getting a family friend to come and get a person or pass them on to the emergency services, whether that be the PSNI or the ambulance service. So that would be the main role of the operational volunteer.
And worth recognising the 94 volunteers that that already do this work. That's a remarkable number, really. I mean, talk about serving your community. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we have an amazing bunch of volunteers there. As you say, the 94 people, that bands across everything from fundraising to educational talks to our operational volunteers. The time and commitment that these people give is just amazing, and we can't thank them enough for the dedication that they show to the cause. They're just amazing people.
And I suppose, too, it's difficult, isn't it? Because the fact that it's required and these services are used and people, you know, are assisted Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. It does talk to a wider issue, doesn't it, of the scale of people that feel desperate or in a position where they might be considering their options in this area. It really is remarkable that there has to be such a response to that.
Yes, it is. And look, there is help out there for those individuals. I think when we meet people, they feel that there is no options there. There is a lot of help and support out there. Ourselves, we've launched a project called the Lighthouse Project, which you'll see throughout Derry, Londonderry. It's basically an NFC sticker, which a person can scan. And there's endless helplines and for all kinds of stuff, from addiction to abuse helplines to suicide, mental health. There is lots of services available. It's just unfortunately people don't know about these services or don't feel that they can access these services. So we're there to be that link to inform people of these services and help them in their moment of need.
Okay, in terms of the volunteers that you're looking for, you're not actually asking for a huge commitment, but it does make a huge difference as part of the wider team. So really you have to be over 18, probably yeah, doing one night a month. Full training, and obviously if someone is deemed, is accepted, there's obviously full training given as well to know how you might deal with people and what have you.
Absolutely. So there is quite an intense training programme. Obviously, the nature of what people deal with, we want them to be prepared for these scenarios that they may come up against. So there is quite an intense four-week programme, which is sessions across radio training, client approach, first aid, mental health first aid. And we have wellbeing services available for our volunteers as well. And it's just making sure that they know, yes, you're there to help people, but we're also there to help you. And it's such a good network of people that we have here in Foyle Search. It is like a big family. We're all here to help each other for the situations that they do come across as well. But the training that the volunteers have available to them is really good training as well.
Yeah, so it's excellent training too. And the role is really to engage with someone who may be in distress, to remove them from any potential danger, and then signpost them to the relevant services, be that the police, the ambulance, or whatever it might be. So if someone has a night a month and wants to be part of this team, they're over 18, I presume in reasonable good health, because there's quite a bit of walking involved in this. By the way, you don't do it on your own. You go out in teams of three, don't you? There's a walking team, a boat team, or a mobile team. So if anyone is over 18, wants to give a little bit back to the community, committing about a night a month, joining a fabulous team of individuals that are already there, how do they go about applying?
So at the minute, we're looking for an expression of interest. So all you need to do is go on to our Facebook page. There is a live Google form link there. You fill out your email address and your contact number. You must be available for our open night. So we're having an open night here at our base next Monday, the 8th of July at 7 p.m. And that's just to give more information about exactly what it is you will be doing. It allows a perspective or a potential volunteer to see, right, is this for them? Is it not for them? Before they actually make that commitment of moving on to the next stage. So we welcome people to do that expression of interest and come to our open night then.
Excellent stuff. So I hope you get a huge response. Check out Full Search and Rescue Facebook page or Google them. And as I say, we're not looking for a huge commitment, but you can make a huge difference as part of an overall team of volunteers. Dawn, it's been lovely speaking to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Lovely speaking to you. Thank you very much.
All right, take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Dawn Grieve there, volunteer manager with Foyal Search and Rescue. We're joined in studio now by Paul Penrose and Leanne McLaughlin, both of you. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you all keeping?
Very good, yeah. Good thank stuff. You very much for having us.
No, it's good to talk to you. Brodna Gaeltachta 2024 kicks off this coming Thursday. Leanne, do you want to tell us a little bit about it first?
Well, Paul is a director for Brodna Gaeltacht, so I'll tell you that I'm the director.
Very good early pass. I like it. This is like Wimbledon here. First serve, good return. Paul, what's the story?
Thank you, Leanne. We're kicking off on this Thursday, the 4th of July, with our third Brodna Gaeltacht Festival in Fulcara. It's our third one, so we're still still baby feet or baby steps. But we've got four full days of fantastic events aimed at the LGBT community, for the LGBT community, but also for all of our allies, all of our local community, and all of our beautiful friends in Donegal and further afield to come and hang out in Donegal and enjoy some fantastic events and, of course, our parade on Saturday the 6th.
Leanne, do you want to tell us some of what's coming up?
So we have an array of activities going on.
And a great little booklet, by the way, as well, too.
The booklet's beautiful. That we have the Irish Dry King Collective, which are on the Friday evening. Misha is a short film, which looks at untold stories in the community and the LGBT plus community and their allies, which will be on Sean Varick. We're trying to kind of reach out to as many elements within the community and to create a space and a safe space for people to come on in and enjoy the activities that we're running. There's a lot more. I mean, we have...
We have our own, Inish Own Finest, Jen McCarron. Yeah. Coming from Inish Own Pride, who's coming on Friday evening to give our keynote speech.
And this is all kind of really recently. It's not that long ago that we saw the first Pride March in Buncrana. This festival's in its infancy, really, I suppose, in the wider scale of things. It's baby steps, but it's quite recent, really, some of these developments that we're seeing now, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was only 3 years ago that we had the very first Pride in Donegal, in Inish Own. And at the, funnily enough, it was, I only found out about it by seeing Jen here, might have been with yourself, mm-hmm. that she was talking to. So I found out about Inish Own Pride the same way that Jen found out about us in Fulcara. So it was all happening in individually, but, you know.
So really, I'm a matchmaker.
You are, yeah. You've got some sort of fairy dust or something.
Sprinkling all around me all the time.
Yeah. So, it was a very zeitgeisty sort of a thing that happened. And now, you know, we've got, as you can, this year we've got four Pride festival events happening, Inishowen, Falkara, Letterkenny, and also in Bundoran. So, you know, it's growing and it's great. And, you know, I think it's really, you know, a sign of the times, really. You know,
do you think there was a particular significance in establishing this in the Gaeltacht, you know, which primarily, I think, is far removed maybe from the more urban or urban areas, which may be felt for some people like more safe spaces or where they could feel they could live the, you know, be them true, their true selves or whatever way you want, one might want to phrase it. Was there a particular significance in that marrying sort of the Irish speaking community, the queer community, and sort of the rural community?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's a really important point to make, that what we wanted to do was to be able to have a celebration in our own community. I'm born and reared in Falkara and got a hork in the Gaeltacht, and you know, most of us are that are involved in Broad and in Thurisur, and we wanted to be able to bring a celebration home. We wanted to bring our own community out with us and to be able to share with our community, you know, the fantastic event that Pride can be. But, of course, we're in a rural area and it's not the same as a Pride that you get in Dublin or Belfast or Derry or wherever, you know, the bigger cities. This is a very much a different way of celebrating, because we're coming from a background of, you know, storytelling from Gaeltacht, you know, culture and heritage. And, you know, we have a different way of sort of bringing our sort of identity to life and to the community. And, you know, it's we're kind of sort of influenced by our landscape, our environment, our small communities, and our way of talking to each other.
But these things aren't mutually exclusive, and it means you don't have to go away somewhere else and hark on about, you know, where you come from. You can celebrate who you are, where you're from. Leanne, I'm not going to get political at all in this, but we are seeing a situation where certain events are being cancelled here, there and everywhere. There seems to be a big pushback on this month. It's quite notable, really, that I think how it's marketed and discussed has changed dramatically. That's evident. Obviously, we're not going to see it. This is not going to affect this, that and the other. But, I mean, when you look at the broader landscape, this is about sort of people being who they are, where they want to, you know, where they want to be. But we seem to be regressing a little bit in that regard. Or Paul, maybe you want to come in on that one. I don't know. I don't want to lump that on either of you.
I think I'm on the board and Broad, and I think that what we're trying to focus on is the positive impact that it has
in
the community and not look at the negative things. You know, it's all about making it an inclusive space for everybody, you know, and that's really, really important, and celebrating everybody's individuality. Every small rural community in Donegal, anywhere in the country, has a varied and diverse individuals within these small units. And if we can celebrate and encourage them and empower them to be able to say, this is who I am and this is what I'm about, and it's good. It's all good. Then that's what we're happy about. We're not going to focus on the negative.
And you know, it's like the support that we have is just immense, you know, and it keeps getting bigger.
See, sometimes even that question is an opportunity to actually highlight the reality rather than perception, Paul. Do you know what I mean? It's not really based in negativity as such, but, you know, maybe that is completely not the experience of this festival, which I think has to be celebrated too, if that is the case.
Yeah, well, you know, and we do have to be realistic, you know, and we have to, you know, be aware, and we are very aware of, you know, some of the pushback that can happen out there. And, you know, there's a lot, you know, we're very lucky, you know. There's I'm sure there's a lot of other areas that don't have that same support, and you know, if we can be a little bit of a beacon of how to sort of demonstrate an inclusive community in a diverse and rural area, then, you know, well, we're achieving something.
Well, there's stuff still to be figured out, isn't
yes,
there?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Just
and
generally speaking, in all of our spaces.
And it's about creating a space to be able to have those discussions.
And this festival, even albeit in its infancy, got great attention. Obviously, we talked about the local impacts and all of that kind of stuff, but it was picked up, wasn't it, in the media nationally and internationally as well, which I'm sure is pretty welcome.
Yeah, we won Event of the Year last year at the LGBT Galas in Dublin, which was a huge surprise to us all because we hadn't
even... Who are you kidding?
No.
Who are you kidding?
it just did come out of the blue, you know. We were really up against a lot of other...
Top class events.
It was a great night out in Dublin, and you know, it was great to be able to get up on the stage and speak Irish in the Mansion House to a room full of Irish LGBT community groups, and to be able to have that visibility. It was great.
And listen, every day's a learning day, as I say. You frame this yourself. It is for the queer community, but also allies or people that maybe want to learn a little more. One example here is a film called Misha. It's a short film. Which delves into the untold stories of our community of LGBTQ plus and allies. Do you know what I think is an awful that's often lost in all of these conversations that we have, and especially with the negative tone, which I'm not going to go back to, Leanne, under your direction. But it's mums and dads and grannies and granddads who adore their kids, right, and would do anything for them. And they're living their life they're living. And they actually really don't get an awful lot of voice. And there's, thousands of them listen to us right now. And it actually hurts them because they care so much about their children. I'm not saying it's a perfect scenario all of the time. Don't get me wrong. But they don't often get a voice. And they text in shows like this. And it breaks their hearts when they hear some of the phraseology and terminology because they can't really advocate as they might want to for their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's is something that can come out of this as well, that we can bring a parade to a lovely rural area that all of the grandparents, aunties, uncles can all come out, and if you don't want to be part of the parade, you can just sit in your car and wave your flag. There's no pressure on anyone,
It's intergenerational in the parade itself. We have like a 7-year-old child, and we have, I would say, people in their 70s.
It's broadening out like that. There's a lot going on. Where's the go-to place? Mm-hmm. I suppose you can get your hands on the booklet. Is there an online resource there as well?
There's a QR code on the back there. You can get all the tickets at it, and you can go on to www.broadenthegirls.ie as well, and you can get the full programme there.
And it runs from this Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah. And Art in the Park, or Aileen Safar, or Cruinniú Le Cruinniú.
Cruinniú Le Cruinniú, I'm the director in Turisir. So this year, Turisir is an arts collective that's set up, and we run a festival, an annual event yearly, where it is predominantly to promote the creation and support artists in the area. So we run like a sculpture trail, we have workshops, we have young singers coming through like Ella Fitzgerald. But this year we have linked on with Bronagh Gaeltacht. So Turisir is very involved in it being an inclusive space for all artists. So this is why Bronagh Gaeltacht, some of the artists from Bronagh Gaeltacht that have been commissioned to create pieces will be showing their work in Art in the Park. So that's in Ballyconnell Estate in Fáilcheoireann. That is on from 1 to 5, and it's on Sunday. Yeah. So Bronagh Gaeltacht finishes up the big parade on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday, Turisir is on for the Cruinniú.
All right, Paul. Yeah. Thanks, Leanne. Really appreciate you calling, and thanks for coming over. Have a wonderful few days.
Thank you very much. I hope you can come over and join us.
Fingers crossed. Always looking for something to do at the weekend, to be honest with you.